agricultural people to review agricultural uses without any kind of an appeal. It should be pointed out that a number of sessions ago, the county and city enabling legislation for planning was modified to make planning commissions diverse, requiring no more than two members out of any occupation or group to be a member of a commission. What concerns me in this particular instance is that if we have a create through legislation a panel of agricultural people to review agricultural use, this may very well be a precedent which you may receive from a variety of other groups of people who would like the same type of protection in their particular case. And I think the Planning Commission law, which was modified a number of years ago to provide that type of diversity, is really, I think, appropriate in this area. And I still would point out that it's very likely that decision-making, even though it is a quasi-judicial process, is still very much would be in a political arena. The last comment that, with regard to the provisions that you have in front of you, deals with the land division portion of the proposal on the last part of the pages, which would require partitions to go through a kind of review that is available in statute for subdivisions at this particular time. I would submit to you, and I think some of the people that are up here with me can comment on this a little more detail than I can, that approval of a partition and approval of a subdivision are really not the same things, and to go back through with a process of reviewing partitions in the same way that we can with subdivisions, I think it would be appropriate for you to have some type of legal determination as to whether or not that would be appropriate. At this point, I'll turn it over to my colleagues to carry this out further. You want to,
Mr. Chairperson and committee, my name is Bob Martin, Planning Director for Jefferson County. Among other involvements with this operation, I was involved with the task force appointed by the Joint Legislative Land Use Committee to work on the revisions for ORS 215, which had become largely the basis for all the subsequent treatments that you're dealing with now. Since that's apparently the thing to do, I'll stick another one in. It's being handed to you right now. The County Planning Directors Association worked with the material that was initially developed by myself and the other members of the task force and developed the suggested modifications that are being handed out right now. All I intend to do at this point is hit a series of about eight conceptual points that we have included in our suggested modifications, and then at some later date, I'm sure you'll be able to go through the more detail. On page 1 at line 4, our modifications insert the concept of commercial agriculture, replacing the current concept referred to as the existing agricultural enterprise in the area. The reason for this change is in the spirit of the industrial development and general economic growth of the state. The current existing agricultural language is a serious limitation on the alternatives which can be considered in a farming proposal or any action that might go to the Planning Commission for an agricultural activity. Our insertion of commercial agriculture would hope to address the wide variety of changing technologies and so on that might be involved in agricultural enterprise and not limit it to its existing current condition, which is something that certainly is not being done to industrial or commercial activity. On page 2, we retain at line 5 the language that was suggested by the committee, the task force that I was on, for the allowing of private campgrounds in exclusive farm use areas in contradiction to the 237 version, which would exclude those. Page 2 at line 18 to 26, we have inserted some changes that the planning directors feel address the criteria for review that were addressed also by 237 as being in need of revision and in need of more clarification. We have done that at line 18, 19, and at line 25. We feel that going further than this is too much of a restriction on the ability of the county to review a legitimate application. On page 4, at line 8, the land division capabilities inside an EFU zone are again tied to the commercial agricultural standard instead of the existing agriculture. On page 4 at line 17, it restricts the division. If a person had applied previously for a dwelling either in a hardship situation or as a necessary secondary farm use residence, this then prohibits them at some later date from going back in and making a division of that for a whole series of additional reasons which they might think of later as expedient in contradiction to the ones that they originally got the dwelling approved under. On page 5, at line 1 and continuing down through the greatest share of the page, we retain the homestead, farm lot homestead provisions. At the bottom of page 5, we agree with the Bill 237 and restrict subdivision from the allowable uses. A point to address there and keep in mind is a possible conflict, however, with the definition of subdivision in ORS 92, which says that any division of four or more, it's the distinction in language between, or I'm sorry, in ORS 92 it says within a calendar year, and in the subdivision control law it says any four parcels effectively forever is being defined as a subdivision. And there are situations under which a 10,000 acre ranch could be divided into four parcels, and you're going to have to be careful about calling that a subdivision under the subdivision control law, even though it wouldn't be one under the ORS 92. On page 6, line 2, we restrict the division of the Farmer Jones in the same nature as we restricted division for secondary dwelling and hardship dwellings, restrict the division of a Farmer Jones approved residence under later potential changes in the circumstances. A general comment that I'd like to make, my last one, that regards the concept of the marginal land treatment in 237. I'm the only one here that seems to be from Central or Eastern Oregon, and the virtually all of the treatment that's really effective in that bill is related to, I believe, the kinds of situations of marginal land that are found in the Willamette Valley and Western Oregon. They do not appear to me to address situations in which you have ranches which can range from 40 to 65,000 acres and effectively have a major portion of a 65,000 acre ranch or anything less than that, parts of it qualifying under parts of the marginal lands provisions and parts not. The lot sizes don't mesh when you're dealing with these kinds of ownerships, and I think if any place needs a treatment of marginal land, if the concept is valid, Central and Eastern Oregon, containing literally hundreds of thousands of acres of this kind of land, need to have a treatment. But The basic comment is that we agree with Mark Loge's statements that each county has found their way of handling this at this point. It looks to me to be a little bit kind of a day late and a dollar short.
Russ Nibon, Marion County, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Briefly, I'd just like to follow up the previous comments by bringing a couple additional points forward. There was mention made in testimony from Mr. McPherson about Marion County, and I wasn't quite sure what his point was. I think he was addressing the criteria for non-farm dwellings in EFU zones and some experience we'd had in that area. And I just wanted to clarify that it's our position that there are basically two criteria when you're dealing with allowing non-farm uses in EFU zones that are most important. One is that there is no serious impact on farming practices in the area, and that the land that you're dealing with is generally unsuitable for farm use. The original Bill 234 proposed substituting some language or an additional criteria that says that dwelling or activities associated with the dwelling will not force a major change in or measurably increase the cost of accepted farming practices on nearby lands devoted to farm use. As county planning directors, we've reviewed that wording. We find that after this kind of wording gets adopted into legislation, there's an awful lot of confusion in terms of what the intent is. There's a lot of qualifying phrases in it. We've learned to live with the concept of what interferes seriously with accepting farming practices and can deal with that concept. We're not sure that this adds any clarity or any better definition to that criteria, so we're opposed to that. They've also attempted to add a phrase onto the criteria regarding generally unsuitable lands that reads, a lot or parcel shall not be considered unsuitable solely because of its size or location if it can reasonably be put to farm use in conjunction with other land. Who makes the judgment as to whether a piece of land can reasonably be put to farm use in conjunction with other land? You may have a two-acre parcel. It may be next to a farm. The farmer may not be interested in buying it. He may not be interested in leasing it. Does that make it not suitable or not be usable in conjunction with other farmland? There's an issue here that I really think needs to be brought out into the open, and I guess if it hasn't been, I'll do it. There's a certain school of thought that basically says that legally existing parcels out in the EFU zone that are vacant should not be entitled to dwellings or development, because if we don't allow those dwellings, we can keep the price of the land down and make it easier for the farmers to buy it. And when you get a parcel that's 2, 3, 4 acres in size, I don't think that argument is valid. If you're talking about 15, 20 acres, it may be. But the whole attempt to tighten up these regulations and make it more difficult for people to put houses on those small acreages out there is an attempt at what we call reconsolidation. Now, in Marion County, we have a provision that says all contiguous lands in the same ownership are treated as one lot. So we understand the aggregation process and what's involved, but we're also realistic enough at the local level to understand that you cannot, by land use regulations, force reconsolidation, and that it's not equitable to artificially deflate the value of land that people in all good faith purchased with the intent of putting a dwelling on, and then found that somebody who had better ideas for their land was going to keep them from doing that and try to keep the price of it down so that some farmer might buy it. Now, you have no guarantee that anybody's going to be interested in using it, so the person can effectively sit there with no viable use of the land. We're opposed to that concept, and that leads me to, I guess, my major point. In our packet, we're going to submit wording to you to open up the window in the lot of record bill. Now, in the lot of record bill, basically people have a right to put a dwelling on certain parcels. Most of us as planners feel that when a dwelling goes into a farm zone, that there ought to be setbacks, there ought to be siting criteria, there ought to be declaratory statements so that the people are committed to recognizing the primacy of farming activity in that area and that they have to be compatible with that. We don't get that opportunity under the lot of record bill. They're basically given the right to do that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
But the counties have had that right to develop those kind of criteria for the last 10 years that I've been involved in local county clinics since 1971. And I guess I'm surprised they haven't done it. And I guess that's why that's one of the things that I don't have a lot of sympathy for. Because we struggle in my county as citizens to get those kinds of things in place. And I'm not convinced that that can happen, you know, that's a viable way to rely on, to have some assurances that you can, that we can move into the non-zoning Texas type of planning either.
Well, if I may, Senator Cohen.
I don't mean to be argumentative.
In Marion County, we have not approved very many new non-farm parcels, and we have a very strict policy against that. We can play hardball when we're dealing with new situations. Politically, it's very difficult to deal with the existing situations. We find situations, Senator Day was mentioning areas that are committed. We blanket zoned large areas of EFU, and there are clusters of small acreages out there that really could have homes on them where it would not be a significant impact for farming. We require that they be disqualified from farm deferral, but in order to grant a conditional use for a non-farm dwelling on that, you're subject to an appeal, and you have to meet very strict criteria. Now, the county planning directors find themselves in a dilemma. Either we have to come to you and say, loosen up the criteria so that we can have some equity in dealing with those situations, or loosen up the lot of record bill to do that. Now, I think some of the counties would be willing to have provisions put in the law dealing with new non-farm dwellings that are very restrictive. I don't agree with former Senator McPherson that we ought to prohibit them entirely, because there are situations where they're justified. But our real problem is dealing with the existing ones, and it makes us look like we're trying to sell the farm, and that's not the case at all. We're trying to deal with the realities of that. And if we could do it through the conditional use process, where we could require setbacks, declaratory statements, and other attempts to buffer them, many of those equitable issues could be resolved, and it has been. We've developed those criteria in Marion County. And I don't think the state-of-the-art problem exists that you mentioned. I think it can be dealt with, and we'd like to work with the committee to resolve that. We're not in favor of creating loopholes and creating problems. On the other hand, we have a real problem to deal with, and the existing lot of record bill doesn't do it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to close the hearing for today. I'd like to thank the committee members that stayed this long and the members of the audience.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I just want to sort of notice, I am extremely concerned about the House progress. And though this touches on an area of land use, if we don't see some action pretty quick, I think we ought to open the whole set and look at reform per se, because I don't think the governor or his advisory committee, the issues they raised have been even a little bit addressed over in the House. And I've taken the trouble to review what they've done up to this point. And frankly, I think that
Katie come in on Wednesday, and we can really go into it.
I guess what I'm saying, if they ain't going to engage, then some of us are going to engage in this body and find out some solution. Okay.
For those of you who didn't get a copy of 237, if you leave your names, we can send one to you. We ran out of the amended version, and we will be taking the marshlands EFU, this whole question up again at public hearing on Friday, this coming Friday, in this room at 3 o'clock. Thank you.
We have a